Did your favorite NFL team win the Super Bowl? No? Then the NFL Draft is your Super Bowl. I'm Danny Heifetz, and from now until the draft, we are turning our fantasy football show feed into the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we talk about the top players and most important storylines for the NFL Draft, so join us on the Ringer NFL Draft Show.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerNFL. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerNFL right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Welcome to Extra Point Taken Part 2 on this Monday afternoon. Since I last saw Ben Solak, I took a walk, I took a shower. I've been very productive. In that time, Aaron Rodgers...
Is that productive?
Yeah.
Walking, shower?
That's checking two things off my to-do list for the day.
Congrats.
What did you do?
I got five cubic yards of vegetable soil delivered. I've already hauled half of it. I'm out here sweating.
Vegetable soil is a 60-year-old and a 25-year-old man's body. All right. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers trade finalized. That's why we're doing a part two here. Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Here are the terms. The Jets get Aaron Rodgers. They get the 15th pick in the 2023 draft, and they get a 2023 fifth-round pick. The Packers get pick number 13, so you get a little pick swap there. They move up two spots. Then they get a second-round pick from the Jets, number 42, and a sixth-round pick, but most importantly, a conditional 2024 second that turns into a first if Rodgers plays 65% of the snap. So let me summarize that a little bit better. The Packers are basically moving up two spots in this year's draft, getting a second-round pick, and get a 2024 second that could turn into a first. Ben, what was your first reaction when you saw the compensation? Did it surprise you? Is it what you expected? Where did you land?
No, I saw it and I was like, yep. I can't remember if I was on this show that I said this or if it was on the NFL draft show. But for me, like, if I were in Brian Gutekunst's shoes and somebody called me and they were like, we're on a trade for Rodgers, in this case, Joe Douglas being the somebody, GM of the Jets. They said, we want to trade for Rodgers. I would go, the 2021 league MVP and also the 2020 league MVP. Very interesting. What would you like to send me for him? And then if that person responded with, well, he almost retired. He doesn't want to go to any places. And he made us sign Alan Lazard. And he's kind of a locker room nightmare. And he's 38 years old. And we don't have long to play. Da, 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 da. And at no point in their explanation did they say the word first round pick. I would go, that's nice. Call me again when you're serious about trading for the 2021 league MVP, who's also the 2020 league MVP. And then I hang up. There had to be a first round pick, not like a first round pick trade, but a first round pick expressly somehow involved in the Aaron Rodgers trade. Conditions on it are fine, but like there was that strong swell from the Jets there after like it became clear that Rodgers was going to be a Jet, where they were like, and Woody Johnson doesn't want to send a first, and the Jets are going to draw a hard line. They're not going to send a first. The guys won MVP two last three seasons. It's just the price of doing business, even with everything that's considered with him. So I never bought that the Jets are going to be able to get away with sending less than a first.
I disagree. I disagree with this. I mean, I think that I look at the compensation and I'm like, wow, Gutekunst, nice job. Like the Jets kind of gave in here.
It's solid work. It's good work by Goody. And like, right, the Jets did have to give in because the Jets kind of drew this line. I never thought they'd be able to hold that line. I didn't think there was, like, when there was the debate of like who has the leverage here, the Packers or the Jets, when things kind of reached a stalemate, I was very much on the side of the Packers have the leverage. The Jets are going to be the ones that have to give. And I feel like that's where we ended up.
See, I think neither team had the leverage because the Packers, what are they going to do? If he comes back and says he wants to play, you owe him $60 million. The guy won't even return your phone calls. That's not a situation you want to be in. So, and we didn't, the thing is with this trade, we didn't never really heard of a second team. Now, maybe there was one. Maybe those negotiations already happened and those were ironed out weeks or months ago. But this like wasn't one of those spots where it felt like the Packers were able to get multiple bidders. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is turning 40 years old in December. Ben, do you know how many quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era have started at least 10 games in their age 40 or above season?
I've no idea. Wild no.
You have no idea. One, six. Two, three, five. Vinny Testaverde, Warren Moon, Brett Favre, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady. Like, again, I've said this before. Brady has ruined what we think about aging curves. Like, normally at this time, the quarterback is absolutely hitting a wall and his career is about to end. So I just felt like it was, you know, it's not way off from what I thought it was going to be. I thought something like two twos probably made sense. The fact that the Packers were able to get that as a conditional, a two that can turn into a one if Rodgers plays enough of the snaps. If I were a Packers fan, I'd be like, okay, we didn't totally get crushed by this deal. That's nice compensation for a player his age, and we can move on here. And if I'm a Jets fan, I'm probably thinking, all right, you know, maybe a little bit more that I wanted to give up, given that this could be a one-year rental. But like you said, that's kind of the price of doing business. So, all right, you were doing that.
Exactly.
You were doing the 2 out of 3 years MVP thing for Rodgers. Well, let's spin it forward. What are your expectations for the guy? I mean, like, if you had to put him, now you don't have to go full Steven Ruiz and tell me where you rank him as a quarterback, but like, what are your expectations? I just gave you that, you know, that stat about this is very rare for a quarterback to even start 10 games when they're 40 years old. How do you think he's going to play? You can change your opinion. We've got months to discuss this, but your gut reaction, how is Aaron Rodgers going to perform? What are your expectations for him in 2023 with the Jets?
I think he's going to play well. I don't think he's going to win MVP. I like the Jets' general team build. But they do have question marks in important spots on offense. Breece Hall, great running back, coming off a major injury. Offensive line, a lot of talent, but a lot of shuffling. A lot of guys who are injured. Wide receiver, a lot of eggs in the Garrett Wilson basket to be that star wide receiver one. Obviously coming off Offensive Rookie of the Year campaign, which he won because Breece Hall didn't win it because he was going to win it before he got hurt. So a ton of talent. Very, 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 very high ceiling with the Jets. But there is, I think, some question mark on offense. The nice thing is that Rodgers is a stabilizing force, right? Rodgers is a
Rodgers as stabilizing.
Rodgers is a destabilizing force in every single other aspect of his life, except for the 3.5 hours in which his team is playing offense.
That's true.
On a Sunday, in which case, I was going to caveat it. Trust me. I didn't say Rodgers is a stabilizing force, and my head went, yep, that's an acceptable thing to say. No, there were alarm bells going off. I knew I had to cash in something. So I think he's going to play well. The Jets, when you fold in the defense, the Jets have a clear playoff caliber roster. They have a roster that should contend for the AFC East. It's really tight in the AFC. I'm not gonna let you take me any further than the beginning of January. But the Jets absolutely should be a playoff team. Rodgers should be a high producing passer and a stabilizing offensive presence on an otherwise young and discovering offensive team.
Yeah, you're I was making fun of you, but you I mean they basically haven't had a bad offense with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback, the Packers, that is. I mean, there have been coaches that have changed. There have been supporting casts that have changed. And even last year, I think it would surprise people to know, the Packers finished the seat. By the end of the season, they were 11th in offensive DVOA. You know who would kill to be 11th in offensive DVOA? The New York Jets. They were 26th. They were a disaster last year. They're usually a disaster on offense. And so if you just like look throughout the course of Aaron Rodgers' career, like I'm just pulling up the DVOA for like the last 15 years or whatever. I mean, 2017, they were 16th. 2015, they were 11th. Every other year, they were 11th or better. I mean, they've never been worse than 16th in offensive DVOA with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. So I think you make a good point. He should theoretically set a nice floor for the offense. Even if he's not the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, you still should have a pretty good run game. The weapons, like you mentioned, a lot of eggs in the Garrett Wilson basket. That's true. Garrett Wilson could be a star. I mean, Garrett Wilson could be among the, you know, top five in receiving yards this season for sure. They got Alan Lazard for Aaron Rodgers. And so they still have Corey Davis, right? They haven't gotten rid of Corey Davis yet. They still have him. Maybe they make a move or
two. Lazard, Mecole Hardman. It's a good receiving core.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a bad group, especially compared to like what he's played with after Davante Adams left. I mean, you would look at that and say, all right, that is a very good receiving group. So if you just look at Rodgers' numbers last year, and again, these are just stats. They don't tell the whole story, but he was 20th in EPA success rate. He was 21st in EPA per pass play. My expectation for Aaron Rodgers, my gut would tell me, he will perform something like the 12th best quarterback statistically in the NFL next year. What does your gut say? Higher, worse?
Yeah, I'll go higher than 12. I'll go like 8th,
okay.
7th.
Okay.
One thing that I'm very, very interested to see, which at this time is not qualitative, it's not predictive at this point, it's just like descriptive. I'm just interested in it. And then we'll know if it matters later. Rodgers and LaFleur had themselves a little, you know, tug of war over how the offense was going to work when LaFleur first arrived, right? This, a follow-up to Rodgers' previous tug of war with McCarthy, which he won. Nate Hackett was obviously the OC there with LaFleur. Now he's with the Jets. Very famously a stint in Denver. We won't talk about that.
But very famously, yes.
Yeah. Presumably, right? The kind of the surface level look is like, all right, Rodgers with Hackett in with the Jets, they're going to run what Rodgers and LaFleur ran in Green Bay. I would say not so fast. I would not be surprised if Rodgers runs, if the Jets run the Rodgers version of what they ran in Green Bay, right? Rodgers has like a great clip of him. I forget on what medium he did it. I apologize. But it's a video of him talking about how he doesn't like going under center and turning his back for play action. Right? Peyton didn't like it. I don't like it. You've got to be able to read the defense. I think Matt LaFleur had enough clout in the building and enough interpersonal skills and whatever to be able to say to Rodgers, okay, well, we won't run it that much, but we're going to have to run it sometimes and like find a happy medium. I don't know if Robert Saleh and Nate Hackett have that to them. The whole shtick with Nate Hackett is that he's Rodgers' best buddies, his best pal, which if I'm reading the room means Rodgers thinks he can get what he wants out of Hackett. So I wouldn't be surprised if they run a more traditional West Coasty offense and a less like RPOs and you know, the quick game of the slant flat, the stuff that Rodgers typically doesn't like, the simple stuff, the one read stuff. I'm not sure that will be a better iteration of the offense, but it's what Rodgers wants the offense to be. And he's coming into there obviously with a ton of clout, with a ton of, you know, big man walking on campus.
Yeah.
So I'll be very curious to see what that offense looks like.
Yeah, I want to respond to that in a second. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, talk about that and finish out this pod.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerNFL. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerNFL right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, we're back on Extra Point Taken. It's such a key point, the clout. I mean, they literally hired Nathaniel Hackett as their OC. They literally signed Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard.
And so,
which there was no wish list. Don't put it in the newspaper that Aaron Rodgers had a wish list.
The newspaper. Look at you going old school. Yeah. So there's no doubt. And so that would be like, I was trying to think about how do you feel if you're a Jets fan right now? Cause I actually feel for Jets fans because I feel like they get beat up and everyone makes fun of them. I mean, this is a franchise that has not made the playoffs, 12 straight years. And so I think defining success is important. Like if Aaron Rodgers goes there and they make the playoffs, like they could have if you're a Jets fan, you're like, man, my Sundays are really fun. Hey, we won 10 games, maybe you go 10-7. You win the wild card. You get a playoff game. If you're a Jets fan, that's the best season you've had in the last 13 years. So I think that's something to keep in mind. But my fear would be if I were a Jets fan, that this thing is so ownership driven. I mean, it just felt like Woody Johnson came in and was like, if you guys want to keep your jobs, yeah, you took Zach Wilson. Joe Douglas, most GMs don't survive that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go get Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to be our quarterback next season. Make it happen. I don't care how you make it happen, but make it happen. And so that would be my concern. It's just like everything is built around this guy who is we've learned in recent years. We might learn, like I said this about Mike Tomlin, Antonio Brown leaves Mike Tomlin, and we're all like, oh my gosh, right. Mike Tomlin, greatest coach ever. We didn't know anything about this when Antonio Brown was there. Like, there could be a little bit of that here. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets, like, let's see how it goes there. But my concern
New
if
York
I'm a Jets
media
fan,
versus Rodgers, man. As a Green Bay media versus Rodgers was already a thing. Yeah. New York media is going to be a good time.
You know what? I think it was funny because he took care, I feel like, of the local media in Green Bay pretty well. Like, I think if you spoke to most actual local Green Bay reporters, I think they had good relationships with him. He gave them the time of day, but New York's just going to be kind of that's just going to be a different animal.
New York is going to look for more opportunities to be hostile with him than I think Green Bay media did.
Yeah.
That's just the long and the short of how those media markets work.
I think that's true. And so if you're a Jets fan, the worst case scenario here, and not to, tell you the worst case scenario, you've probably already thought of it, but you could be looking at 1 year of Aaron Rodgers that doesn't work out and he still plays 65% of the snaps and you gave up a first and a second round pick and he wants to retire after the season. And now, this time next year, you're starting from square one without a first round pick. I mean, that is very much in play. Like, they go 8-9. They go 7-10. That would not surprise anyone. So that's worst case scenario. Best case scenario, like you said, is that the defense finished 6th in DVOA last year. They've got talented pieces on that side of the ball. There's a pretty good supporting cast around him. Maybe you get a playoff season. He plays well, and it's a season to remember, even if it doesn't ultimately lead to a Super Bowl. So you've got a mom who's a Jets fan. She texts you and says, "How should I feel about this?" What are you telling her in regards to the Aaron Rodgers edition?
Yeah, so she texted the big family group chat with a big crying emoji. She's not an Aaron Rodgers fan, never has been. And I said, "Ma, anything you want to tell the good people of Twitter about your feelings on the Rodgers trade?" Presuming that I was going to tweet out the screenshot, as I usually do. My mom responded with, "How much of this is hoping he can teach Zach Wilson?" Which, aw, sweetie, no. That's a tough one. And then the follow-up text was, "Too bad your take on the draft show was completely wrong." And then she side-texted me individually and said, "Your take on Rodgers' trade in the draft show was completely wrong, but I love the poem." Which, if you haven't listened to the Ring NFL draft show, that sentence doesn't make any sense. You should go listen to the show. Which, it was the take purge, by the way. The concept of the episode is that you can't be held accountable for any of your takes, but regardless.
Listen, one of my big life rules is that you need people around you to like hold you accountable. Like, you can't be going out with some weird shirt on, or like your friends need to make fun of you and be like, "Dude, what are you doing? No, get back."
This is a regular
your
shirt.
Mom. Yeah, no, that shirt's fine. I'm not saying this shirt specifically, but your mom is doing that for you. She is doing a nice service for you. So just sticking up for mom.
And she's been doing it since I was in high school, which was really sick then. That's the thing for me with the Rodgers trade is that, like, man, the window here, like the window of like outright definite success is really small. Because you can't say we traded a second and then a future first for Aaron Rodgers and lost in the divisional round, and now he's retired and we have no young quarterback, is a win. Like, there's a world in which that could have been a win. It's really hard to win in the playoffs. You might have been a coin flip, a bounce of the ball away from the championship game, in which case you would have hit another coin flip, then you'd been in the Super Bowl, and yada yada, whatever. Like, there's a chance that it's not Rodgers' fault. There's a chance that everything works the way it's supposed to. Rodgers dramatically improves the offense. He helps develop Garrett Wilson. Nate Hackett understands how to do little dials in this offense. The defense stays solid on Robert Saleh. There's a chance it all works the way it's supposed to, and you still just like losing the divisional round. And then if he's not back next year, you can't say the trade was a win. If he's back the next season and you do it again and you lose the division round again and then he retires again, you're paying like $40 million.
I think you're happy. I think if you're a Jets fan, you'll sign up for that right now. If you make the playoffs 2 years, you get 2 years of Aaron Rodgers. You make the playoffs in 2 years after 12 years of not making the playoffs, you'll be like, all right, we gave up some draft compensation, but guess what? For a change, this team actually brought me some enjoyment. I think actually, and I would be curious if you're a Jets fan, you can let us know. I actually think they would sign up for that. Even when you said the first one, like I bet there are some Jets fans who would sign up for that. If they were like, all right, I understand we're giving up, you know, two big picks, but if you just tell me we have a winning record next year, we make it to the freaking divisional round. Yeah, let's do it. I just want some joy in my life here.
In 2009 to 2010, the Jets went to consecutive AFC Conference Championship games and lost them
both. A long time ago. You weren't even born yet.
Okay, no, I was living with a Jets fan at the time. Let's remember that, okay? What percentage of Jets fans do you think were happy after the second consecutive conference championship loss with Mark Sanchez? And this was with a young quarterback who presumably could have been the future. There was a vision. There was a chance that later it was going to get better. They were going to get over the hump. If in 2 years from now the Rodgers Jets have made the playoffs twice and lost twice, there ain't no Jets fan going to be like, we did it, gang. They're going to be like, he's gone and we have nothing behind him.
I think they might be like, but that was fun. If they're being realistic think and honest with themselves.
Fans of teams like losing in the playoffs. You're always like,
they haven't made the playoffs in 12 years. They have not made the playoffs in 12 years. These different expectations for different fan base. You know, the fan bases of like the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, that would suck for them, but it's a different standard. So I just think it's different if you're a Jets fan. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct us one way or another if you're a Jets fan. All right. That's how you feel if you're a Jets fan. This is a question that I feel like no one will ask. So let's ask it. How do you feel if you're a Packers fan? They're just kind of forgotten now. It's like, okay, they no more Aaron Rodgers. Just brush them to the side. How do you feel right now if you are a Packers fan? What do you think?
Feel great. That's a good day in the office. Pop up to 13. You definitely wanted to move on from Rodgers. I think the list of Packers fans who are like, see if you can reconcile with the guy. That's got to be a short list. Talk about a fan base that's been losing in the playoffs in consecutive seasons and is feeling great about it. Shield, they love it. They're so happy. No, they hate it. It sucks.
That's because I feel like Gutekunst tried to straddle this line, which listen, I've ripped them for before. They should have had a Rams mentality. We have an MVP at quarterback. Let's go win this freaking thing. The NFC's wide open. And instead they tried to say, well, let's build for the future. Let's not be too aggressive. And they got stuck and they didn't get over that hump. Now, they could have made those moves and not gotten over that hump, but at least you would have gone for it. And so I would be annoyed by that if I were a Packers fan. If I had an MVP caliber quarterback and you're looking at this, Matt LaFleur, you know Matt LaFleur's career regular season record here?
47. It's like a bajillion and three, right? He's incredible.
47-19. They've won over 71% of their regular season games. And they didn't even get to a Super Bowl during that stretch. I mean, that stings if you're a Packers fan. But overall, I think you're right. I think you're probably like, all right, that part sucks, but I was ready to move on. And I'll tell you what, I would not be surprised if I'm on here in August saying extremely flowery things about Jordan Love as one of my surprise players in the NFL next year. Who knows? He could be really good. Let's see. It'll be fun.
Yeah, 15-13 is not like... Woo! But the second round pick they got, if I read the reporting correctly, was 42, which was the pick that the Jets got from the Browns in the Elijah Moore trade. So technically, this was a three-way trade, by the way, with the Browns and Elijah Moore just delayed by a month, which more three-way trades. Love it.
I agree.
Anyway, and then the
let's do a show. Sorry to interrupt you, but let's do a show in like a few weeks after the draft where we just do three-team trades.
Three-team trades are the best. Yeah. Get him in the lead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Then the future second, that is a conditional first. We didn't detail this exactly when we were talking capital. It's 65% of the snaps. As far as conditions go, man, that's pretty light. That's very achievable. Yeah. I would be flabbergasted if a player of Aaron Rodgers' clout gets benched at 64% of the snaps because the Jets are trying to save face. No chance, right? It's injury or bust, in my opinion, in terms of him being at 65%. So you're getting that future first. You feel really good about that. Now, Jordan Love is your permanent starter. We've talked about this on the show before. You're sitting there with 13 overall. When you had a MVP-winning quarterback, you didn't need to be super serious about star wide receivers, star pass catchers. You could kind of get away with middle-round guys and developing on the edges and mid-tier veterans. Young passer, first year starting. Jackson. Smith. Njigba. Okay, Michael Mayer. Let's get a pass-catching rookie in the building. I don't know if they'll like JSN. He might be too small for them. I think they'll like Mayer. I don't know if he's worth 13 overall. But you're here now at the top half of this draft. You bumped up, okay, two spots, whatever. The plan is still the plan. You have to improve the pass catching core for Jordan Love in this draft. And if you do, see what the young man's got. Limited play has been noteworthy. Not impressive, just acknowledgeable. He's done things when he's been out there. Let's see what they look like here on a weekly basis.
There's something invigorating as a fan when you have like a young quarterback, a young starting pitcher, a new, you know, in the NBA, a first round draft pick who's playing, who you're excited about. There's something fun about that as a fan. Now, it can go horribly very quickly. We know that, but there's like a hope and excitement about it if you're a Packers fan. Yeah, their wide receiver room, I mean, they got to do something. They got Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Samori Toure as their three wide receivers right now. So yeah, they got to address that at some point, but I would be kind of excited if I'm a Packers fan. I think you're right about that compensation. I actually thought the condition was going to be more about Rodgers the next either team success or Rodgers in 2024. Like if Rodgers is on the roster on March 1st, you know, the first day of the league year in 2024, then it turns into a first. It's not tied to that. All the guys to do is play 65% of the snaps and you're getting a first round pick next year. And you have Jordan Love, you know, you're on a rookie contract here. Like it's, you know, the cupboard is not bare there in Green Bay. By the way, go ahead.
And if Love's terrible, you got two first round picks next year.
Yeah. You got the compensation to make a move.
Eagles got 10 and 30. Lions got 6 and whatever, 18. Seahawks got 5 and 20. This is the way, right? It's okay. If we might need to draft a quarterback, let's go get a second first round pick in that draft. And now we got chances to move around, right? Now we have the potential to bob hither and thither. And so I this is good work by Goody. Like I said, you held the line, you get the first round pick. And like I couldn't agree more. The conditions attached to it, much softer than I expected, which is huge for the Packers.
Like I said, there's a chance Matt LaFleur is a great coach. I don't know if he is or not. I mean, Rodgers was playing great, but those Rodgers years, I mean, they have won a lot of games under Matt LaFleur. So I think if you're a Packers fan, you're like, I feel pretty good about the coach. Let's see with the quarterback. It's the start of a new era. All right, let's finish with this real quick. Jets, where do you have them in the AFC hierarchy? Austin Gale sending us that the Jets are plus 250 to win the AFC East, second behind the Bills, who are plus 130. I got to think you disagree with that, given that you're a pro Dolphins guy.
Oh, no, I'm a pro Dolphins guy, but the Jets should be ranked above the Dolphins to win the East. It should be tight, okay. But we're talking Aaron Rodgers versus is to a healthy question mark. The Dolphins are much more volatile, put it that way.
Okay.
Man, I volatile implies that the Rodgers Jets are stable. Gosh, I'm being too nice to this guy. Anyway, plus 250 Jets, plus 290 Dolphins. I think that's a square.
It's close.
I think that's good. Bills are better, Chiefs are better, Bengals are better. And then, yeah, the Jets are in that Chargers tier, right? Jets are
they're
better
in
than
the next
Chargers,
tier.
But in the next tier, if the next tier is Jets, Chargers, Jags, it's tough to put the Ravens in there right now because Lamar question mark. But if that next tier is Jets, Chargers, Jags, I think Jets are the best in that group right now. That'd be my estimation. So about the fourth best, top of the second tier.
Yeah, Ravens are tough. Steelers, you never count them out. I don't.
Stop it.
What are you talking about? They win 9 games every year under Tomlin. What do you think? The Steelers are going to stink all of a sudden this year?
We're not in the 9-game tier. This is like can win your division tier.
You're literally in the 9-game tier. The Dolphins won 9 games last year. The Ravens won 10 games last year. The Jaguars won 9 games last year. It's literally the 9-game tier.
But they're better than they were. The anticipation is their young quarterbacks are going to keep getting better. With the Steelers and Kenny Pickett, I'm not so sure. How did we get into a Kenny Pickett argument in minute 25 of the Aaron Rodgers straight into the Jets podcast?
You couldn't
podcast.
Help yourself. All right.
Me? You started this.
See what happens when you force us to talk to each other for 3 freaking hours in one day. This is bound to happen. All right. We'll take a break from each other. We'll wrap this episode up. Aaron Rodgers, thank you for giving us a little bonus episode. If you want to listen to the rest of Extra Point Taken, it is already in your feeds. There will be much more Ringer NFL show this week with draft coverage. All right. Thank you to Ben Solak. Thank you to producer Cliff Augustine. Additional production supervision from Connor Nevins and Arjuna Ramgopal. We will talk to you soon on the Ringer NFL team.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side-by-side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.